We've been talking about different seasons this week at camp. We've been talking about a time for wrestling, a time for contentment, and a time for direction. Today we're going to be talking about something a little different. We're going to be talking about a time for stretching. Now, this is Derek's fault because he told me, I told you all that you're all going to have to sleep during my message today. And so when you first hear someone say, all right, it's time to stretch, what does that usually mean? We're going to do a workout. That's what that means, right? If it's time to stretch, all right, everybody, get your stretch on. Now we're going to do a 30-minute workout. We are going to get hot and sweaty in here, and then no one will sleep. Sound good? Everyone ready for a workout? Or would you rather listen to me preach? All right. I just tricked you into saying that. Perfect. Let me explain to you. We're going to talk about stretching and about the effect that stretching has on us and I want to explain it to you this way. You know, I've been on this weight journey for several years now, and twice now I've been over 20 pounds heavier than I am, and then back down, and then back up, and back down, and hopefully I've learned my lessons and I don't get there a third time. But one of the things that I was most surprised by when I first lost all the weight that I lost was I would sit down, you know, for a really yummy meal at supper time, grab my plate, put all the food on my plate that I would want, and I'd start to eat, and I'd realize, my goodness, I'm full, and I'm only half done my plate because my stomach has shrunk. Now, I realize this isn't rocket science, and this isn't complicated, but, you know, this is one of the big downsides to losing weight because, you know, you love eating a good meal, and all of a sudden, I couldn't eat the same amount because my stomach had shrunk. And one of the things that stretching does for us, and this is in the opposite way, this is something that, honestly, we don't want to do, but when our stomach is stretched, our capacity increases. And when we get stretched in life, our capacity increases. Now, I'm not encouraging you to gain weight so you can eat more. That's a bad plan. It's yummy, but it's a bad plan. But let's look at this another way. And Sean and I, we have two teenage kids. You saw them both on stage today. And yes, they're teenagers, so prayers are appreciated. Both of our kids are super, super busy. They're involved in all kinds of things. And our lives, honestly, it can be fairly hairy at times. We literally feel like we are going from event to event, from thing to thing. Between our commitments at the church and our commitments with our family, it's like a full-time job. And sometimes Sean and I will be sitting there talking about it, and we'll be talking about how, you know, you remember what it was like when our kids were little and we didn't have to do all these things, or when we only had one child, or even before that when we had no kids, and how much time we must have had because we're so full right now with all these things. But then we start thinking about it and we realize, you know, we felt busy then too. It's not like we sat around and did nothing. We were busy and we felt full and we felt like we were stretched and all those kinds of things. And I began to think about it, and I realized, you know what's happened is our capacity has changed. We have been able to carry more than we could originally. And the day is coming for us, you know, in the not too distant future, because I'm getting old, that our kids are going to be gone and we're going to be back to that place. And the difference is going to be because our capacity is increased, we're going to be able to do way more and carry way more than we could originally when we were in that place, because that's what happens. When we get stretched in life, when situations come, they increase our capacity for things. And I want to tell you about, you know, because I'm talking about my kids here, I'm going to tell you about a bad parenting example, and so don't follow this example. And, you know, a little while ago, I was driving my daughter somewhere, and as we were driving, she was sharing with me how stressed she was about, you know, some of her schoolwork and some of the other things that she had building up and all this, you know, she was kind of feeling overwhelmed by this all. And, you know, you need to understand, just so you have at least a reason for why I did such a bad parenting job here, I was in the midst of probably one of the busiest seasons of my life. I was literally, you know, didn't know how I was going to get through the next day. And we just had thing after thing. I was just trying to get through my task list every day, and then the next day would start. And so here she is sharing me about how stressed she is and how she's going through, she has all these assignments due, and she has these other commitments that are due, and coming up and feeling overwhelmed by all this thing. You know, I'd love to tell you what I did was I was encouraging and comforting, and I said, you know what, I understand, and that would be what a super dad would do, but that's not what I did. I'm not a super dad. And as she was telling me this, all I could think about was how busy my season was. And she started telling me this, and I said, honestly, you have no idea. You have no idea what busy looks like. You have no idea how stressful things are. And I know, I said, I'm not a good dad. I'm a work in progress. And I said this whole thing to her, and as I, you know, a few hours later, as I was thinking about it, you know, of course I started to feel guilty because that was like not great parenting. And here she is, she's expressing her heart and her concerns, and I didn't even comfort her. I just bawled her out for it. And yeah, I know, you're going to all be judging me now. I get that. But secondly, you know, here's the thing. I'm over 40 years old. I have all these years of stretching and being able to expand my capacity, and she's not there. And so why would I expect that she would have a capacity that I would have? That's an unrealistic expectation. In fact, when I began to think about it and think about where she's at in her life, I realized, you know, she actually has way more capacity than I had when I was her age, because all I did was play video games. And, you know, I had zero capacity. And she's actually exhibiting the capacity that I didn't have until I was in my 20s. And so here I am judging her and coming down on her. And in fact, she's actually really doing incredible. And you know, I'm a super proud dad, and I'm going to get in trouble now because I just said that. And so then I went and apologized to her, and I said, you know, I'm actually so sorry, because that was, you know, not great parenting on my heart part. And not only that, you are doing so much better than I was when I was your age. And because you're actually being stretched in your situations time after time, and you're putting yourself in these places. And so, you know, the reality is that when we get stretched, it increases our capacity. Now, I want us to read in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians 3, verse 20, and it says this. It says, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Say infinitely. Infinitely. Here's the thing. God wants to do more in you, and he wants to do more in me than we could ask or imagine, than we could possibly think. And God wants to move in us more than we would ever dream. God, you know, generally speaking, we do not increase our capacity unless we're placed in demanding situations. That's just the way it is. If you want your capacity to increase, you need to be stretched. That's the only way we grow in capacity. We're kind of like rubber bands. We are more useful when we get stretched. A rubber band, if it's not stretched, is not really useful to do anything. And it's the same thing for us. If we want to increase our capacity, if we want to be able to do more than we could think or imagine, then we are going to have to stretch and increase our capacity. You see, stretching experiences are like weightlifting, and when we lift weights, they make us stronger. And things that force us to work long, and things that force us to work hard, the things that force us to show grit, they increase our capacity in our life. And this goes across the board. It's about our spiritual capacity, our creative capacity, our coping capacity. All of these things can be enlarged. All of these things in our life can be increased, because capacity is not a static commodity. It's not something that stays the same. Our capacity can grow in all of these different areas. And because God wants us to do infinitely more than we might ask or think in our lives, he purposely allows us to be subjected to these types of situations, because it's the only way we're actually going to be able to grow. We will never grow if we are not subjected to stretching. It's just not going to happen. And if you want to become stronger, you can't go and read books about exercise and think you're going to get stronger. It's not going to happen. You have to actually exercise. If you want to run faster, you can't watch videos of people running. That's great. You can learn all about it, but you're not going to run faster until you start to run. And the same thing is true with this. If you want to increase your capacity, if you want to be able to carry more, if you want to be able to do more, you need to be stretched. It really is that simple. And God wants you to be stretched. He wants you to be able to accomplish more than you can ask or think in every aspect of your life, spiritually, emotionally, every aspect. God wants you to be stretched. And this is a whole different topic, but you know what happens is God places us in situations that are going to do that. But sometimes God doesn't always place us in those situations. And I'm not going to get into all of this because this is a topic for another day, but I just want to mention this, that not every stretching experience we go through is because God placed us there. Sometimes it's God placing us there. Sometimes we place ourselves there, right? We do things and we place ourselves there. And sometimes life places us there and just circumstances. And so it's not always that God places us, but here is the thing. God doesn't waste any of them. And it doesn't matter whether we were there because God put us there or because of our mistakes or because of our choices or because of life. In whatever the situation is, when we're in these situations, these stretching, challenging situations, God doesn't waste it, and he uses it to stretch us. And so when we look at these three these situations and these stretching things, there are three different responses that we can have to being stretched. And we can resist them, or we can just outright reject them, or we can embrace them. And I want to start with resisting the stretching. And let's be honest, this is where most of us live, right? Who actually likes being stretched? Who actually likes, going through hard situations and being challenged? We don't like doing that. And we do whatever we can to avoid it. And I think the life of Moses is a super interesting example for us to look at because, a lot of times in the Bible, we see these Bible characters like Moses and David and all these people, and we think, man, look at these incredible people and how great they are and what they accomplished. I could never do anything like that. I could never be anything like that. And, but we don't always look at some of the basics of how pathetic some of them were at the beginning and where they were before God started using them. And we're going to look just briefly here at the life of Moses, and we're not going to read it because it's two chapters, Exodus 3 and Exodus chapter 4. But Moses was not like some guy that was embracing this when he started here. And if you look in Moses in Exodus chapter 3, you see Moses where he's walking along and there's this bush that's burning, but the bush isn't being consumed by fire, and so he's startled by it and notices it, and as he walks up to it, God literally speaks audibly through this bush, and this incredible encounter with God. And so then in verse 10, this is what God says to him. He says, "Now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You will lead my people Israel out of Egypt." But Moses protested. Say protested. "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" And Moses made excuse after excuse. If you read the next two chapters, he started off by saying, "Well, God, who am I? I'm nobody. I can't do it." And then God answered that. And he says, "Okay, well, God, I don't even know what your name is. Nobody knows what your name is. How can I do it?" So then God answered his name. And then he says, "Well, what if they don't believe me?" And so God answered that. And he says, "Well, I'm not very good with words." And so God, this is excuse after excuse after excuse. And then when he ran out of excuses, he said, "Well, just send somebody else. Just send somebody else." He said, he had no more reasons why he couldn't do it, but he just didn't want to do it. He was resisting the stretching. And then God got angry with him. And we're going to read here in verse 14. It says, "The Lord became angry with Moses. 'All right,' he said, 'what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he's on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what I do.'" Now here's the situation. God already knew that he was going to resist, because Aaron was already on the route, right? God already knew that he was going to resist this and sort of didn't give Moses a choice here to reject this, this stretching. And let's be honest, when we're in stretching situations, we're usually kind of like this. We are looking for excuses. We are making all the reasons why we can't and all the reasons why we don't. And sometimes and oftentimes, we even pray, "God, remove me from this situation. God, this is too hard. I can't handle this. Remove me from this situation. Help this to pass and let be somebody else's problem or whatever." And we ask God to remove us of these situations. But what if it's God's will that we actually go through some of these? What if actually God wants us to go through some of those situations? Then in fact, when we're praying and asking God to remove us from it, we're actually praying against the will of God. There are times in our lives where God says, "Hey, I want to increase your capacity. I want to do infinitely more than you could ask or imagine. I have all these things for you, and you need to go through this so your capacity increases. The only way you're going to increase your capacity is to be stretched, and so you need to go through this." And so sometimes when we are coming to this place where we're praying and we're saying, God, please remove this. I can't handle this anymore. Sometimes I actually believe we're praying against the will of God. What are the challenging situations in your life right now? What are the things that God is trying to do through your life? How is God trying to increase your capacity? And for Moses, he resisted the stretching, but eventually he did what he was supposed to do. But I want you to think about it for a moment, because how close was he to actually rejecting the stretching? How close was he? Because unfortunately, sometimes that's what we actually do, because resisting the stretching can very easily become rejecting the stretching. It is such a small, small line between resisting and then rejecting, which is, of course, the second thing that we're going to talk about today, is rejecting the stretching. And if you look at Moses, I think he was super close to rejecting. In fact, the only reason he didn't reject it is because God didn't give him a choice, right? That's the only reason he didn't miss out on all these things that God wanted to do through him. He was that close to missing this whole thing. And it could have easily gone either way. You know, you can look at lots of different examples in Scripture where people rejected it. The first thing I think of is the rich young ruler, where you had this young man come up to Jesus, and he said, Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, sell everything you have, come follow me, I have incredible things for you. And he looked at that amount of stretching, and he said, I can't do that. And he turned around and walked away. Now, he wanted what Jesus had, he just wasn't willing to be stretched that amount. And he rejected the stretching, and he rejected what God had for him. Or you look at King David. And here you have King David, incredible, incredible man of God. And the Bible says that it was the time when kings go to war, and he stayed home. And why would he stay home? Because it's challenging. I don't think war would be easy to do. I don't know about you. That would seem like a stretching experience to go to war. And he looked at it and he thought, man, I really don't want to do this right now. I really don't want to be stretched right now. I'm just going to stay home. And he stayed home, and that's what he got into all the trouble with adultery and then eventually murder. And so we can see lots of examples where people resist the stretching time and time again. And for years now, this has been a problem that I've been dealing with. To be honest with you, I've become quite a master at rejecting the stretching. And it's become very easy for me. You see, the way I'm wired where I only want to do things that I know I'm good at. And I don't want to, if there's something that I don't feel like I'm very good at, or I'm not confident in, then I don't want to do it because I'm very competitive. Some of you know me, know that. But I'm also very competitive with myself. And so when there's something where I feel like, man, I don't think I'm going to excel at that, then I just avoid it. I just reject it. And I don't want to do that. And for years, God's been trying to stretch me in a whole bunch of different areas in my life. But because I knew I was good at running things in the background and staying in the background and taking care of a bunch of details like that, I rejected some of the other things that God wanted because this was the safe place for me. And so when God was challenging me to take steps into other areas, especially more public areas, then I rejected it whenever possible, and I avoided it. And one of these areas was actually preaching, what I'm doing here today. I did everything I could to avoid preaching at any opportunity. And honestly, most of my adult life, this is where I've been. I have been at this place where I've sort of rejected this, Lord God, let somebody else do it. It's not for me. I would way rather be in the background. And the truth of the matter is that I know that because that's where I've been, that I've missed out on a whole bunch of things. There's a whole bunch of things where God could have used me and God could have grown me. And God's gracious. And I feel like he's doing catch up with me right now. And so, I think that that's part of who God is. But I look back and I feel like I could have increased this capacity and I could have become more of who God wanted me to so much earlier in life if I hadn't rejected these things that God is calling me to. And, there's lots of examples in my life where I could tell you about this. But one that really brought it to a head was my first trip to Uganda. I knew that I was going to have to preach a few times when I went to Uganda, and it was sort of just the price I had to pay. And I thought, okay, I'll live with that. I want to do the rest, so I'll live with having to do it a few times. But what was happening in my life at the time, we were in the middle of like just a crazy busy season, and I was trying to find time to prepare for these messages, and honestly, I couldn't find any time because I was so many other things going on, and the closer I got, the more stressed I got about it, and then Pastor Keith told me that, well, what he usually does is because it's like 30 hours of flights, he just prepares on the plane, and so I'm thinking, okay, that sounds good, because what else are you going to do? You're stuck for 30 hours doing nothing, and I'll just prepare for these messages on the plane because I literally have no time right now, and so that's what I attempted to do. Well, I'm sure you know that was a terrible idea. And I get on the plane, and you know, I'm so stressed about it and so anxious about everything that I can't focus. I think, okay, I'm just going to try to sleep because, you know, I've already been up for so many hours. I'm going to try to sleep. Well, then I couldn't sleep because I'm stressed and I'm anxious and all these things are going through my head. And then this 30-hour flight becomes, honestly, what would seem to me like a flight from hell, because it was like terrible and I couldn't do anything. I was useless. And so we get off the plane and I'm thinking, God, I got nothing. What am I going to do here in this situation? I am so messed up. What am I going to do? And so here, this is the state of mind that I'm in. Our first day there, we're going out, and what we're supposed to do is we were going to go to two different schools, and we were going to do some kids programming with these two different schools. And so we had divided our team up into two groups and to go to the two different schools, and I hadn't done any of the kids program because I knew I was going to be doing other things, so I didn't really know any of the kids programming at all, and so we had it all planned, and about 10 minutes before we were going to go, this is actually changing it, you're going to three different schools now, and at each school, somebody needs to preach for 30 minutes to the children. The children and the teachers and the administration there, and there's probably about 500 kids in each of these schools, and so then I'm panicking in my mind because now all of a sudden I have to, you know, go as with one of these groups and do this thing, and because we need to divide into three, and so we had two other people that were quite confident to preach. We had the Hoffmans with us, and so I okay, that's great. Steve and son, they can preach at two of them, and then I because I'm such a brave, incredible man of God, I looked over at my wife and said, Sean, I think you're going to have to preach at the other one. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. I actually said that to her, and she looked at me with these eyes that I knew, oh my goodness, I think I might be sleeping on the streets tonight. And I realized in that moment I was more afraid of my wife than I was afraid of the children in Uganda. And so I went for it. I said, okay, I guess this is what I'm doing. And so we go there, and we're reenacting this, you know, scripture verse in the scripture story, and so we're sitting here, and I had never rehearsed this, so I'm trying my best to act out my part, and I think we were doing the prodigal son, I don't even remember now, it's all like blocked from my memory, and I'm trying to act out this thing, but the whole time I'm acting this thing out, and doing a terrible job, just to be honest with you, the whole time I'm acting this thing out, in the back of my mind, I'm going, I'm up next. What in the world am I going to say? What in the world am I going to say to these people that are here, all these kids and these adults watching? And this thought jumps into my head about a story I remembered from Sunday school way back when. And so I kind of went for it. But, you know, if I can be, you know, God was gracious. But honestly, it wasn't my greatest moment. It was pretty terrible. And I'm pretty sure I spoke for about 5 minutes. And there was no 30 minutes happening here. And, you know, and here's this place. And I came out of this thing. And I honestly was so done. I was so done with this whole thing. And I was, under my breath, I was calling Pastor Keith names about this whole preparing on the plane thing. And the only redeeming factor for me was, you know, some other things that happened later. And God ended up doing some amazing things in that trip and worked through it. And one of the things that God really challenged me on that trip was about this topic we're talking about right now, and about how I was resisting and rejecting the stretching, and that God wanted me to do something different. And, you know, I think we all deal with this. We all deal with resisting the stretching. No one loves being stretched, but we reluctantly agree, or sometimes, like Moses, are kind of forced to do it because God makes us. But sometimes we very easily switch into rejecting, because that's such a simple transition from resisting to rejecting is almost nothing. It's so easy to do that. But the third response that we can have to being stretched is to embrace the stretching. And this is what God was challenging me about. He was challenging me about how I was resisting the stretching in my life. And many times I was even leading it to flat out rejecting it. And so after I came back from Uganda for the next year, I started praying, God, help me to embrace the stretching. Help me to have a different attitude with this. And I started to realize that this is actually a more mature response to stretching. And that if we want to grow in our walk with the Lord, this is the mature response to say, okay, God, help me to do this. Help me to embrace it and help me to say yes, God, to the stretching situations that come in my life and say, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to take it on. And I think about people in the Bible like Moses who clearly rejected the stretching or resisted the stretching early on. But then when you start reading later on, you realize what changed for Moses. Like you see him years and years later when he goes up into the mountain and he gets the Ten Commandments and you have all these people who started worshiping the golden calf and he came down and there is no more fear of people in him, right? He came down and he threw the tablets down and he bawled them all out and punished them all. And you know, this is tens of thousands of people here in front of him. He was a very different person. And he had gone from what he was doing before when he was resisting the stretching to now embracing the stretching and now being willing to say, okay, I'm going to be more mature about this. I'm going to actually embrace what you want me to do. And I realized that God wanted me to mature in my response to stretching as well. And so for the next year, I continually prayed, God, help me to embrace the stretching. And when stretching situations would come up, I would try to say yes. And I would try to say, okay, God, you know, help me to do this. You know, you've put this in my life and I'm going to deal with it. And it might be challenging. I might feel like I'm overwhelmed or I might feel like I'm overburdened, but I'm going to push through it and I'm going to make it. So a year later, I'm leading a team to Uganda again. And like I said, I'd been reminding myself that I was going to embrace the stretching and I was ready for this trip and I was ready for whatever happened. And I had a few messages prepared this time, but I was kind of going, okay, God, you know, bring it on, whatever you have for me. And you would think that what God would do is he would ease you into something, but that's sort of not what he did. And so we get to Uganda, and I ended up having to preach 10 times in different situations, 10. And a few of them, I had two times where I was teaching to these big crowds of a few thousand people. I had this one time where I was a long day, and we got back at whatever it was, 9 or 10 at night, and the pastor said to me, oh, by the way, tomorrow morning, you're going to get up early, and you're going to come with me to the radio station, because we have a radio program that goes to tens of thousands of people here, and you're going to preach at 7 in the morning. And I went, great, can't wait. One time when I was speaking at that place where I had all those few thousand people there, I got there because I was supposed to preach a message to these people. And I thought, man, it doesn't look like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And it looks like we're going a different direction here. And then he walked over to me and said, oh yeah, you're not preaching still for another hour. That's going to be in an hour. Right now, what we're doing is we're breaking into different ministry type groups. And one of the ministry groups is single moms. Over there's a few hundred single moms. And you have an hour with those single moms right now to go and teach them. And I said, okay, great, thank you. And, you know, here I am, out of my mouth, because I knew I had to say yes to the stretching. I asked God to stretch me, and he was doing it. So I said yes, but it doesn't mean inside I'm not kind of going, oh my goodness, Lord, what are you going to do? How am I going to do this? And so I sat there, and I said, okay, God, I said I was going to embrace it, so I'm embracing it, but you need to help me. What am I going to do? What am I going to say? What do I know about being a single mother? I know nothing about single mothers. And so then this thought came on my heart about how I'd been fired from a previous church. And yes, that's the story for another day. I have been fired from a church, and maybe you're tuning out for the rest of this time. And how that was super difficult and challenging, and there was some rejection and things like that. And I thought, you know what? I don't know anything about being a single mother, but I do know what rejection feels like, and I do know what it's like to go through a hard time. And so I came and I shared that story, and we did a bunch of question and answer. And honestly, it went super well, and you know, God used me. And so here's the reality that each and every one of us face in our lives. Right now is a time for stretching. You know, right now is a time that God wants to stretch you in one way or another because he wants to increase your capacity. He wants to do more in you than you think possible. And we usually resist the stretching. We usually say, well, I don't know, that's too hard, and I'm going through these difficult times in my life, and it's too challenging, and I have all these commitments and this, and there's that. And Lord, please release me from this. But what if that's actually not what God wants to do? What if he actually wants you to embrace it and say, okay, God, help me to increase my capacity through this. Help me to grow because I'm in this situation. And I believe that that's oftentimes what God is trying to do, because God is calling us to have a more mature response when it comes to being stretched. He is calling us to embrace it. And you will save yourself a ton of stress. And not only that, you're going to be able to do so much more than you think or imagine. And I came back from that trip, and yes, God stretched me, and yes, it was 10 different times, but I didn't have any of that. I mean, zero of that anxiety that I had the first trip, because I came with a different attitude, and I came with a choice where I said, I'm going to embrace this, and I know, God, you're going to help me in the midst of it, and I'm not going to resist this. And all that stress and all those feelings, all of them were gone. There was none of them. And it didn't matter, even when they told me, you know, you're going to go talk to these single moms, or the next morning you're getting up early to go and preach on the radio. None of these things fazed me, because I'd already in my mind said, no, I'm embracing this. I'm embracing this, and I know, God, that you're going to be faithful. And he was faithful. You know, our time here at camp is over now, and we're just going to be cleaning up and leaving. But I have some homework. I have some homework for you, because I believe that God is doing this in each and every one of you, and that each and every one of you, that God is stretching you in your life, that there are stretching situations that you're probably in right now, and if you're not, you will be, because that's the way our capacity increases. And that's what the Bible says. He says that he wants to do infinitely more than you can ask or imagine. That's the way this happens. And he wants to stretch you spiritually. He wants to stretch you emotionally. He wants to stretch you in all these different ways. He wants to increase your capacity to do these things. And so here's my homework for you today to think about, is what I want you to do is to think about that question. How are you currently being stretched in your life? What are the situations that God wants to help you to grow in? And what are the things that I need to say, okay, I'm going to embrace this instead of resisting it, or even yet, worse yet, instead of rejecting it? What are those situations? And if you're married, honestly, even better yet, talk about it with your spouse. The two of you, talk together. What are the situations that we are being stretched in, that we are being challenged to do? And then ask God to help you to embrace them. Ask God to say, okay, God, I want to have the more mature response to this. I want to be able to embrace these things. Let's stand together. I'm just going to ask everyone to bow their head and close your eyes, no one looking around. You know, one of the things we do every Sunday at Church of the Rock is we always give people an opportunity to make a decision for Christ. And I don't know where any of you are at here in this room, and so I don't want to miss out on an opportunity if that's where you're at today. And you've been hearing this message about being stretched, and you realize that you've been resisting and even rejecting the plan that God has for you for your life. And you've sort of just living your own life and doing your own thing, and you know, God's got a purpose and a plan for your life, but you've kind of said, yeah, this is not for me. But you hear this and you think, man, I know that's a mistake. I know I need to make a difference. I need to make a different choice. And I want to give you an opportunity to change that this morning. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to call you up front or embarrass you in any way. But I want to give you an opportunity to say, okay, God, I'm done running from you. I'm done resisting you and rejecting you. And I want to make you Lord of my life, because I really haven't made you Lord of my life. And so if that's you this morning, just going to ask you to slip up your hand, and as soon as I see it, you can put it back down. Anybody here this morning, you say, you know what? It's time to make a new decision for me, and thank you. I see your hand at the back there. Anybody else where you'd say, you know what? I've been kind of living my life for myself, and I haven't been living it for God, and I want to change that. I just want to give you a last opportunity. If there's anybody else here where you know that you need to make that decision today. Okay, I said I wouldn't embarrass anybody, and so what we're going to do is we are all going to say a prayer together, and it's in prayer inviting Jesus into your life, and for you, for those of you that put your hands up, this is a prayer inviting Jesus to be the Lord of your life, and where you would say, today I'm going to make a choice to stop living for myself, and I'm going to start living for you. And so let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I come to you. I know I'm a sinner. I've made bad choices. But today I'm choosing you. I choose to follow you. I choose to make you my Lord and my Savior. And then I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I ask you to forgive my sins and come into my life. And Lord, when stretching situations come, help me to embrace them. Increase my capacity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand.